Okay, here we go. Part two. Part two. So again, for anyone who was not here last week, we are in the middle of learning about a terrible Rasha named Shabtai Tzvi. Shabtai Tzvi was born... I hope we didn't hear that part. So, definitely misunderstood. People didn't realize how bad he was. Well, even Rabbanim got duped. Definitely misunderstood. Well said. Definitely misunderstood. So, it's fair comment. So now, show and tell was as follows. Show and tell was Meshichei Hashekem Misnagdeyem. This is Yid, Rebbe Yamin Hamburger from Bnei Brak. He's actually Swiss. He's a Swiss. He speaks Yiddish, English, Hebrew, and he did all this research. Excellent, excellent work. It's about 700 pages, going through every single false Mashiach, and right, they make these differences, or unsuccessful Mashiach. Right, as we mentioned in the past, Bar Kochba was actually on track to be Mashiach. Rabbi Akiva felt he was, and at the end, it did not pan out. And he didn't make it to the Sefer. So, definitely, I don't know if he was known to be, right? Mashiach is from the descendants of David, right? That's one of the Tanaim, after being... Yeah. So now, one of the works he always quotes very often, which, again, where did he get all this stuff from? So if you look, a lot of articles, a lot of university stuff, a lot of stuff written in France and Turkish stuff. You have to know everything. He did a lot of research. Excellent book. And one of the main sources for a lot of these stories was actually written by Reb Emden, which is, again, one of the reasons why we're going through this to appreciate what was going on. Reb Emden wrote a whole sefer documenting and chronicling how bad Shabtai Tzvi was and all of his followers and the ridiculous stories that went down. Rabbi Yaakov Emden wrote them all down. He wrote a whole sefer, right? Kanos to us has a very negative connotation. It means you burn garbage cans, right? And then hurt people unintentionally. That's what kanois means to us, or meeting Palestinians. Whatever zealotry means to you, everyone has a different connotation of what zealotry means. He wrote a book called Toiras HaKanois. This is the show and tell. Toiras HaKanois is going through documenting all of Shabtai Tzvi, his crazy, crazy hanhugas that he would do, and his followers, and how we have to go and uproot them and seek them out and get rid of them from everywhere. So that's why a lot of these stories that we have here about what went down when they were Mevatel Shavuos Batamuz, when they used to make feasts on Tisha B'Av. Right? As we mentioned. So how do we know these things? Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes, and he was a short time afterwards. We're talking 30, 40 years later. This is not old history. We're trying to go back now 350, 400 years. He had to go back 30 years. There are people who were there, people who knew. So that's just where we're coming from. So now, what happened again? So there's a few different steps over here. He was born in, as we said, Izmir, and he had this up and down type of personality, as we mentioned. He would lay low, and then he would start doing maisim meshunim. That's what they refer to them. These wild, wild things. So, where are we? Oh. Again? Oh, sweet. Did you get a chance? Last week, yes. There are those who claim that he was emotionally unstable. As we... That's what misunderstood means? Yeah. That's like politically correct. Okay, fine, fair. So, yes, definitely misunderstood again, as was mentioned. So, he was born on Tisha B'Av. Now, Tisha B'Av, if someone's born on Tisha B'Av, he potentially could be Mashiach. Okay? Born on Tisha B'Av in Shin Pei Vav. Rabbi Klein's not here. Anyone want to do this? Shin Pei Vav, what? 1240, yeah. 1240. No, it's 86. It's 86. 386. 386 plus 1240 is going to be... Yeah, 60, you got it, 1626. 1626, which means in Tach, in the year Tach, 1648, he's 22, right? So he witnesses all these things, and that was definitely the catalyst which decided that, you know, there has to be a Yeshua for Klal Yisrael, and that's why people were so susceptible to all this, all these shenanigans, because they were in such a low place that, yeah, the Yeshua came. This is mamish. From the depths, we found the Yeshua. This is it. So, what happens is as follows. He goes and he starts self-proclaiming that he's Mashiach. Self-proclaiming. By the way, I had a vision, and it was Niskala to me that I'm the Mashiach. And he starts getting followers. This started in Izmir. Now, his Rebbeim, as we mentioned, started smelling something's off, something's not right. So they continuously summoned him to come in front of him, in front of them, to testify, like, what are you even saying? What are you up to? And why do you feel you're Mashiach? And he refused. And then he got so bold and audacious that he put them in chayim. Great. Definitely a good move. If you have tremendous chutzpah and you're on the way to be a Mashiach HaSheker, definitely apropos. His Navi was much, much greater in Torah than he was, his Navi, Nasan Azazi, but he definitely, it's not clear. If you go through all these chapters, not clear. That was one of the first things they tried to do with him. How come he doesn't know nearly as much Nigle as he does Nister? That's a red flag. As Rabbi Akvalal, in his book, Faith Over Folly, right, Tamim Tia, and this is Kabbalah 101. You can only get as far in Nister as per the extent of your knowledge in Nigle, that which is revealed to us. So, if you know Shas, you know Tanakh, you know Poiskim, you know Shulchan Aruch, you know Tur, or, you know, see the Shulchan Aruch Harav, where he delineates in Hilchos Talmud Torah what's part of the Chi of Talmud Torah. If you finish that, you're definitely in good standing to then build Teras HaNistar on top of that, because sky's the limit. You have Malei Kreisoy with Shas and Poiskim. He knew lots and lots of Kabbalah. He was extremely captivating. He was, they said his face looked like on fire. Actually, marked off. Yeah. What happened was, they got so turned off by him, they kicked him out of Izmir, and then he wound up in Eretz Yisrael. We mentioned a lot of these things last week. But what happened, while he was in Eretz Yisrael, he lays low, and then he starts doing these weird meisim. He starts crying and davening hours on end. And then he'll fall down to the floor, and his body will shudder, and he'll say, I'm a Mashiach. So if we would meet a person like this, so either he's definitely crazy or definitely Mashiach. It's kind of one or the other, because you can't even relate to what's going on. You can't even process it. So it's one or the other, right? I have no idea if this is even like something normal. I can't even, and there's no psychologist on site. So that's it. He's either nuts or Mashiach. Many people took the Mashiach route. And especially when he met up with Nasan Azazi, as we're going to get to, that kind of sealed the deal. Because Nasan Azazi started having nevuah that he is Mashiach. And Nasan Azazi was a Talmud Chacham, at least in knowledge, not necessarily Torah Kibari. He was a Talmud Chacham in knowledge for sure. And all of his nevuahs were worded in the same wording as a Navi of Nach. And he would say, I had a chezion laila, right? Chizoyon, and I saw Shabtai Tzvi coming and heralding the geula, and I saw it, Ne'um Hashem. Right? You sign off Ne'um Hashem like the Naftiras, anyone? Yeah? And that's it. So people were sold. Shabtai Tzvi is it. So one person says, who does he quote from? Someone who was there marked down what he witnessed with his own eyes when Shabtai Tzvi went to the Maaris HaMachpelah. He was in Eretz Yisrael. He went to the Maaris HaMachpelah. And the guy says, I couldn't stop staring at him. This person walked in, Shabtai Tzvi, and he started davening all night, stayed up, crying his eyes out. He went for a night, he went for the next day, didn't stop crying, tefillas, and he started dancing, and he started singing, and he didn't look like anything I've ever seen, and I couldn't take my eyes off him. He was so captivating. I've never seen a human like this Shabtai Tzvi. These are very hard things, because he wasn't just some random guy. I said, hey, he did all these Maisim Meshunim, these odd and weird actions that were very extreme that really grabbed people in. So, as we said last week, in defense of Klal Yisrael, it was a very hard thing to do. So who did he marry? He had multiple, many wives. One of them that was quite famous was Sarah. Sarah was someone who definitely, you know, the matzah min es minoy, that we find that two peas in a pod. She had this vision that she's going to marry Mashiach. What do you know? Okay. So Rabbi Yaakov Sesportes, anyone ever heard of him? Rabbi Yaakov Sesportes was the Rav in Hamburg. The Rav in Hamburg of the Portuguese community. He was Sephardi. Yeah, now we learned something new. There was a Portuguese community in Germany. Yeah? So Rabbi Yaakov Sesportes was one of the biggest critics of Shabtai Tzvi from beginning to end. There were many other Gedolim who weighed in, who were up and down. It wasn't that clear, it wasn't that straightforward. From beginning to end. And he systematically was trying every time he can to prove that Shabtai Tzvi was a phony. So he said, I looked into this woman. Who is this woman? This woman, Sarah. Meanwhile, Shabtai Tzvi, while he was in Eretz Yisrael, goes down to Egypt on a fundraising trip. He meets one of the biggest philanthropists of Egypt, and he was in charge of the ports of Egypt. That was one of his influences within the Egyptian government of the time. And word gets out that this woman wants to marry Mashiach, and Rabbi Yaakov Sesportes writes that she was a woman who had no moral or ethical standards. Kasher birarti, that when she was in Yavon, she was mufkar lakol, he writes. Wild things. And then she marries Mashiach. What do you know? Another red flag. These things are one red flag after the other. She marries Mashiach, and now she's the Malka of this new kingdom. He's Mashiach, and she's Mashiach's wife. Okay? He gets this philanthropist in Egypt to bring her into Egypt. They get married in Egypt. And then he continues on his journey. He comes back to Eretz Yisrael, and then he starts more and more odd stories, and they kick him out. They kick him out of Eretz Yisrael. This is right after he teamed up with Nasan Azazi. Nasan Azazi was fairly young at the time. Fairly young. Again, as we mentioned last week, some people say it was premeditated. They made the shutfis to gain from each other. In here, it sounds like Nasan Azazi had the nevuah, then reached out to Shabtai Tzvi. Shabtai Tzvi went to meet him. Hey, you also know I'm Mashiach? Let's team up. And they teamed up. And Nasan Azazi was his PR. And he would write the nevuahs, and they would be well spread throughout Europe, back in Turkey, and they had a real following. Lots of money, lots of investments, because people gave all their money away because they're moving to Eretz Yisrael to make Aliyah, because Mashiach's coming. And Nasan Azazi took it, and he really, in retrospect, he was really prying on the weakness of Klal Yisrael, but he was moira people to do tshuva, and people were crying and doing tshuva and davening all day because Mashiach's coming. If you knew Mashiach was coming with clarity and confidence, I would also get pretty stirred up. Yeah, and with a Navi and wild stuff. They say a story over here that one time on Leil Shavuos, Nasan Azazi. Again, if you witness any of these stories, these are so hard to negate. Nasan Azazi falls onto the floor. And the witnesses by this story say that he takes off his outer clothing and he starts being misnabe. He starts having nevuah. Okay? And then it keeps going, and by the pinnacle, by the zenith, he couldn't have anything be mafsik between this nevuah coming out. Yeah, v'day l'chakima b'ramiza, as the expression goes. We won't go any further in the description. And there's nothing being mafsik between the nevuah and those around him. And then he starts laying out this bellowing voice, saying that Shabtai Tzvi is the Mashiach. So if you witness such a thing, what would you do? What would you say? How would you decipher it? It's such a hard thing. If I was there, I don't know. This is wild. What do you do? So the next step is that year in year Tuf Chaf Hey. This is easy. 1665. Shabtai Tzvi gets up. No more Shavas Batamos. Shavas Batamos is a bad day, a negative day. And it's because of the lack of the Gula. The Gula's here. I'm Mashiach. I'm bringing it on. It hasn't reached its full potential yet. But no reason. Now, it's ironic because they were very pro Sigufim and fasts and all these, you know, atonement. But that was Mitoch Simcha. Shavas Batamos, Tisha B'Av, that's out of mourning. We're not going to do that anymore. Done with that. And they deliberately, to show the Geulas here, they made Seudas and Hilulas on Tisha B'Av. And we'll all get together, all the followers of Shabtai Tzvi, and make big Seudas. Lavish. So, by now, by this point... Yeah.
No, but now.
By now he left. He went to Mitzrayim. He then went to Eretz Yisrael. They kicked him out of Eretz Yisrael. He goes. That was a big loss.
This is going on for years,
tens of years. This story starts when he was in his young 20s.
That's what I said from this story. Is that wouldn't Mashiach? If he was Mashiach.
Yeah.
That timeline is.
So next week we ran out of time. Rabbi Yaakov Sosfortes, one of his claims is that number one, he's not from David. Number two, where was the Melchemes Goy Gumogog? Number three, we never found any precedent anywhere in any Gemara that Mashiach reveals himself and proclaims his own greatness. So Rabbi Yaakov Sosfortes was after him, but the Taz's sons went to go meet him. We're running out of time. We ran out of time. But we're going to have to, yeah, the Taz's, and they came out and they said, we definitely were taken by the person. What are you going to do now? The Taz's own children. Is that a backhanded, you know, approval? And this is why it really sweats so many people up. What we have to get to next week, which I guess will be the finale, we might do a fourth week. Maybe we'll do a fourth week, is what happens. The Rabbanim didn't go down without a good fight. This is a tremendous michshol. Give me a second. A tremendous michshol. So what they did was they went after him, and they definitely succeeded in many ways getting the Ottoman Empire to assume he's trying to throw an uprising. And he definitely spent many time in jail, and to be continued, we'll have to see where he ended up and where the movement ended up. To be continued.